on bbsradio.com. This show is about spiritual awareness, awakening your eyes, and we have guests that come from all around the world. So, of course, we start off with William Vitalis singing his original song, Open My Eyes to the World. Tonight, I have a wonderful guest. She's a meditator and a spiritual practitioner, and her name is Charlotte Herbert. Charlotte has had 30 years of experience working with meditation, and she's a spiritual practitioner. We're going to find out what that is in a moment. During this time, she has practiced several forms of meditating, including transcendental meditation, TNM, and that was with the Maharishi Maharesh, and Kriya Yoga, who was devised by Yoganandaji, my favorite, Paramahisayana Yoganandaji. Charlotte has been writing, both professionally and creatively, for 25 years. Her essays have appeared in Sunday's Boston Globe magazine and the Sunday Worcester Times and Gazette, and her short stories have been published in over half a dozen literary journals. Her novel, Numbering Stars, was a finalist in both the Hemingway First Novel Contest and the Thomas Wolfe Fiction Prize. She resides in Northborough, Massachusetts, with her husband and their son. My goodness, Charlotte, that is such an achievement, all those writing awards. Good evening and welcome.
Well, thanks so much, Elizabeth. Thanks for having me on the show. I appreciate it.
Oh, it's a wonderful to have you. My husband would give anything to have these writing rewards. He's been writing novels for years.
Yeah, it's tough. There's a lot of competition, but I think you have to stay positive and keep at it if it's your dream, you know? So
The first thing I want to ask you, Charlotte, is will you please tell us what a spiritual practitioner is and how you work?
Well, I started meditating. I started meditating when I was 18 in college. And so I've been meditating over 30 years. And I also call myself a spiritual practitioner because I like to think about God, to practice japa yoga, which is taking the name of God when I'm, you know, walking or driving. If I can remember God, it's a great thing. So I try to have other practices, not just meditation. I think we all do. We're all spiritual practitioners. So I think it was just something I put on my resume.
Charlotte, in our world, in the New Age world, a spiritual practitioner is a healer who earns money.
Okay.
That's the definition of it. So that's why I wanted you to explain your view of it.
I see.
Could you please give us an overview of your book, the newest one? You've done two, have you not?
Yes. What I'm on the show to talk about tonight is actually my meditation book, which is titled Meditate and Experience God, Saints, Scriptures, and Science Point the Way. And so this book is actually intended to show how through meditation we all can experience God, that we can experience the same transcendence, the same expansion, and the same bliss that saints and sages speak of when they say that they commune with God. The Bible talks about this when it says, it's the peace that passeth all understanding. Mm-hmm. And I just want your listeners to know that this is their birthright, that anyone who is born as a human, it's your birthright to know God, to commune with God, to meditate and experience God, as my book talks about, because we are all children of God. So that's the first thing I wanted your listeners to know. And just a little more about my book, it's actually divided into three sections. Part one is what the teachings state. And that just explains the Eastern teachings of yoga, which have their origin in India. And these teachings can be found in some context in all of the world's major religious
traditions. So what you're saying is that you are bringing the East and the West together, the knowledge of the East and adding it onto the knowledge of the West. Is that true?
Yes, this is true. Part two, just to tell you the other two parts, which will tie into your question, actually. Part two, so part one is what the teachings state. Part two is, are the teachings true what others say? And this is where I have a multi-denominational approach to God, because I quote, kind of extensively quote, from 9 different saints and sages from all the world's religious traditions.
Fabulous.
Yeah.
Made you want to write this book?
I will get back to that just real quickly. I just want to go on to part three. But so part two is, are the teachings true what others say? And this part talks about what saints, scriptures, and science say in support of the teaching. So I also quote from all the world's major religious scriptures and also from quantum physics. And part three, which is really important, is find out for yourself about whether the teachings are true. And these are steps you can take, which basically are different techniques of meditation. So part three talks about meditation techniques. And then you asked why I wanted to write this book. As you mentioned, I do follow the spiritual teacher Paramahansa Yogananda. And in his writings, he's talked several times in his writings. He's passed on now. But in his writings, he talks about what God is like, what communing with God is like, and what the saints and sages say about this. And he's always saying...
The greatest book that he ever wrote was the Autobiography of Yoga. Yoganandaji died in 1953. He was a great teacher. He came here around the 1930s, and he was honored at the United Nations, and he also really did join the East and the West. He built the shrine, the lake shrine, out in...
Right.
Los Angeles, California, and
right.
He is well revered, and his work luckily has been very much recorded.
Right, absolutely, Elizabeth. That's absolutely true. So, and I've been following him for about 13 years, but he keeps talking about, you know, in his writings, because we do have his writings, as you said, we have his recordings and his writings, he talks about we have the testimony of the saints to tell us what to do and to tell us what communing with God is like. So I just wanted to know what that testimony was. I believed him 100%, but I'm like, where is that testimony? What is it? So I did some research, and I found this testimony from the saints, and I put it together in a book. So that's what started me on this journey.
So why is meditation such an important tool for communing with God? Most people, especially in the Catholic Church, are taught to pray, and they're taught to pray to different saints to help them. That's almost like calling on the angels. So why do you feel that we're going to go beyond that and commune with God when we meditate?
I think prayer is also wonderful. So I don't want to disparage anyone who prays. I pray, and I think prayer is wonderful. And it's certainly, I think, one of the tools we should be using, or if we're so inclined. I'm not going to say should, but if we're so inclined. But meditation, what it does is it allows us to cut off our attention from the external world and turn it within, which is where our souls reside. And we can turn it toward our souls, which is actually God inside of us. So in normal waking reality, you know, we have all these thoughts, we have all these sense perceptions, and these things prevent us from knowing who we truly are and from knowing that we truly are souls, and which are pieces of God. So the more we quiet the mind and the senses, the more easily we can perceive God.
I'd like to say it a little differently.
Yes, sure.
Prayer is when you're praying for peace, when you're praying for someone's health, when you're praying for your health, when you're praying for your children, when you're praying for your parents, maybe even praying to meet your bills or to have a new job. Meditation is when you go silent and you don't think of anything. You're not working on anyone or anything. You're going into the energies and allowing your body to be cleared of your blocks and to grow in the light wider so that you can come back with more divine knowledge to continue on.
I like that. I like the way you put it. That's very good. Very good. And just to go on and say one more thing. One of the analogies Yogananda and I think some other saints talk about why, again, meditation is such a good tool is just assume you had a cup of water with dirt stirred up within it. They say that the moon would not reflect very well on this water because the dirt is stirred up. But when the dirt settles to the bottom, which is like our thoughts settling down, then you can see the reflection of the moon perfectly. And the moon might be thought of as our souls. So just like you said, you want your thoughts to settle down. You ideally don't want to be having thoughts when you're meditating, ideally. So, right.
Well, the other thing is that the mud is called the Maya. And the
right.
Lotus blossom is the lotus blossom coming out of the mud and reaching up towards the light or towards the divine. So we all have to walk through our karma. We have to do it. And it's best
right.
to do that with your eyes open and saying, yes, I welcome my karma, as a person by the name of Babaji recommends.
Right.
You need to embrace your karma but you can learn how to do it on a higher level so that your growth and your soul can go back when you finish this life and you go back to your soul pod, you're at a higher level, which makes all kinds of wonderful things happen.
Right, right. No, that makes a lot of sense. And just quoting from the Bible, which is Psalms 46:10, they say, "Be still and know that I am God," which is beautiful, right?
Mm-hmm. It's one of them. Good stuff. So what is communion with God like? And what do the sages and sages tell us about what happens to us when we're communing with God?
Okay, so, you know, as I mentioned, I have 9 different saints and sages that I talk about in my book from all the world's great religious traditions. And I have males and females.
Would you like to name them?
Yeah, I could name most of them, or I could name all of them. I have saints and sages from contemporary times and from some ancient times. So I have, for example, I have St. Teresa of Avila from the Christian tradition. I have St. John of the Cross from the Christian tradition. I have Yogananda from the Hindu tradition. Amici, also known as the hugging saint, or Amma, they call her Amma. You're laughing. I don't know why, but
because I've been with her for 25 years.
Oh, how wonderful!
That's why.
Wonderful. I've seen her a couple times and received her blessing, which her darshan.
She's coming
which is,
to you next week. Get yourself there.
Oh, is it next week?
Actually, it's not. It's July.
Right. Usually, it's in July. Yeah. So she's wonderful. Okay. So and then I also have let's see, Brother Lawrence of the Resurrection. He talks about practicing the presence of God. And then I have Rumi and the Baal Shem Tov from the Jewish tradition and the second Dalai Lama of Tibet. So those are some of the saints and sages. And what they talk about, and I've experienced it too, and as I said, I've experienced it to some degree, not to the degree the saints have experienced it. But, you know, as I mentioned, and I know, as you know, Elizabeth, it's everyone's birthright, so we all can experience this, not just the saints and sages. And what they talk about is they talk about becoming silent and feeling this feeling of bliss, of transcendence, of an idea that there is something bigger than their little selves.
And do you know how that is done physically, Charlotte? Because I can explain it if you'd like me to.
I just want to tell a couple more things I think were important. Also of having this feeling, and this is something I notice myself a lot, a feeling of you have no desire for anything and you don't have any avoidance toward anything else. So you have this complete sense of well-being and of contentment, and you have a sense of a knowing. So how it's done, why don't you take it away, and then I can certainly add on if you'd like.
Well, when you meditate, and this can take years, it can take lifetimes before your kundalini becomes fully awakened. But the idea is the shakti comes in the center of the head and goes down the chakras, and the kundalini starts to move from the root chakra up when it feels that electrical energy. And both of them meet at the heart, and then you go into something called nirvana. This is changing now with the new spiritual chakras, but this is how it's been for thousands of years. And the nirvana is an electrical charge that happens when shakti or the chi energy meets the kundalini, goes all through your body, and sometimes you can feel very tingly or you can feel like there's ants crawling over you as the nerve endings open. Once they're open, they're open. And they open almost like a fiber optic. Picture that with all the light going around. And then you start to gain wisdom and knowledge. You start to understand people more. You start to feel compassion. And you learn that you're the little ant crawling on the planet and life isn't all about you. It's about making the world and universe and beyond that a place of peace and love and harmony.
Hmm. That's beautiful. That's very nice. I like that. Very, very well said. Yeah. And I just wanted to also talk about, why communing with God is so important. One of the things that they say is that if you go back to the teachings of yoga, which are the teachings of the East, and yoga is just a Sanskrit word that means union, they say that it's only through God, so only through communing with God and eventually going back and reuniting with God, that we're going to find the happiness we're truly seeking, and that this material world is not going to do it for us. And the reason this is because our souls are made in the image of God, And all world religions will pretty much tell you the same thing. While the world is not made in this image, the world is full of duality, as people know. It's full of goodness and evil, light and dark, etc. And everything in the world changes and dies. And so because everything is temporary, we're never going to find the lasting happiness that we're looking for from the world. We're only going to find it through God. And they basically say from the teachings of the East that God is this ever-conscious, ever-new bliss, which is also what our souls are. And so one of the questions...
Well, of course, the newest thing, of course, on December 22nd, the wonderful energy of the fifth dimension has come on the planet. That's what December 21st was about. We now have the most powerful energy that we've ever had since the Earth was formed on the planet and available to everybody. And I know that you have a lot more to say, but I'd like to hear William tell us about how God is everywhere.
Oh, great.
Let's do it.
Finding my way under wide open sky, I feel new friends in the morning air. Sunrise is warming the mountainside, promising me that you'll be there. Oh, let me run up the mountainside. Something like a first flight is bursting inside. Suddenly I know that you can't ever hide from me. You are everywhere, all around me. You are everywhere, all around me. You are everywhere, and everywhere do I see. Oh, who got my breath going right from the start? My heart, who sings the grace into every part of me. Oh, tell me, how can my mind hold the wings of your kind unless I spread my arms wide? How will I know your heart is mine unless I feel you so deep inside? Into stories to tell, who climbs the light ladders in every cell of me. You are everywhere, all around me. You are everywhere, all around me. You are everywhere, and everywhere do I see. You are in every smile, you are in every
Jim Vitale is singing the most wonderful song, You Are Everywhere. And I watched him write that song in Kipolui, Hawaii, as he woke up one morning singing it right from his heart. And he was jumping through the seven pools right down, one to the next, singing that song. It was quite, quite a memory. Hmm. What did you think?
Oh, very nice. Very nice.
Great. So why don't you tell us some of the techniques, some of the things that tips that we use to commune with God? What are the techniques that these sages tell us to do?
Okay, well, that's actually two different questions. So I'm just going to address, to start with, some tips that the saints and sages give on how best to meditate and how best to achieve this communion or this union with God. One of the things they talk about is that we really need to concentrate. So concentration is key, and we need to shut out of our consciousness all sounds and other earthly distractions.
And most people that are doing that find that so difficult.
It is hard. It's so hard. It's so hard. But there's a few things we need to just keep in mind while we're meditating so that it doesn't become too willy-nilly of a practice. I mean, I know I started meditating when I was 18, and a lot of those years, I'm not going to say they were wasted, but I think I was too relaxed about the whole effort. So one Zen master once said, alert, alert, relax, relax. So it's this balance where we don't want to be too relaxed, like, oh, I'm just going to have thoughts and that's okay too. We want to remember we're meditating. So we want to concentrate. And Yogananda says we also want to have this intensity of effort. So it doesn't have to be, you know, straining, but we want to have this intensity to it, that it's important. This is an important practice. And St. Teresa of Avila talks about the mind as a madman. I don't know if you know those quotes, but she says,
yes,
the
I
mind
do.
And the thoughts, yeah, the mind and the thoughts should be laughed at as the silly things that they are. So while we're meditating, when those thoughts come, we want to try, and we're, as soon as we're aware that they're there, then we want to try not to think them, because if they're really important, they say they'll come back to us later. We can have a planning session later and think those thoughts. But so those are some of the tips that you want to concentrate. I would also say you want to put your attention up at the spiritual eye, you know, the point.
Well, Amma teaches to repeat a mantra over and over again, and so does the Maharishi Maharaj, which does really help people.
Right.
And a lot of people have a hard time in the beginning sitting with their eyes closed. And you know, Charlotte, I think that has to do with trust. And so I teach them, if they have to open their eyes, to look at a spot on the other side of the wall and make that their spot. And then finally, as they do the mantra, let themselves relax and the eyes do close eventually. That seems
to help.
That's
very interesting. That's interesting. I haven't really come at it from that angle. That's very interesting. Right. Right. I could see that. Yeah. And so anyway, part three of my book does have some meditation. It has introductory information on 8 different meditation techniques. So some of those techniques are right in the book, and some, you know, the readers would have to go to other sources to find out more about. But a mantra-based technique is certainly one. What I also recommend, and I know you were talking about the Kundalini aspect, I think, Elizabeth, is there are basically pranayama techniques of meditation, and then there are non-pranayama techniques of meditation. A mantra-based meditation is a non-pranayama technique.
Mm-hmm.
So what I recommend to people, and they don't have to do this. If you're a beginner, you can do any meditation technique that you're comfortable with. And really, I feel that any meditation technique is good. But pranayama techniques basically have to do with the life force, and it's often some kind of breathing that helps us to control and maintain and keep the and do something with the life force.
And I've got to say this, Charlotte, there are some that are good, and there are some that are very, very, very. Did I say very bad for you?
Okay, right. I've heard that myself.
Because the people do not know how to do the breath. So until you learn how, I do not think that you should take that on to start without a good teacher. There is a wonderful teacher. His name was Yogi Bhajan. He's also passed on.
Right.
And he developed Kundalini yoga, and he's wonderful, and his classes are wonderful. And I love those breathing techniques, the Sat Nam and the breathing, breathing in and then counting to 4 and breathing out. But I do not like Rolfing, and I do not like the Sandra Ray techniques. I think they're dangerous to the body, and I've seen people have real problems with it. So taking deep breaths to clear your mind, to begin with, maybe take 3 deep breaths and then start until you can get into a class where someone is watching you, holding the energy, and teaching you how to do the prana breathing.
Right. I think you make an excellent point. It really, you really do need a good teacher. I've heard there can be a lot of dangers with pranayama. But just the technique I follow is Yogananda's technique. It's called Kriya Yoga. And you do need to be initiated into this technique. Not everyone can start, but it's certainly something for your listeners to look into, because he is a wonderful teacher, and his teachings have, you know, maintained here.
Well, absolutely, Charlotte.
And
the way that you develop Kriya Yoga is you take the classes. They're $40 a year, and you can write SRF, Self-Realization Fellowship, in Modesto, California, and send for the classes. And they come every other week, and you work with those meditations for 2 years. And after that, then you can be initiated into
Right. Except it's actually 1 year now. I don't know if it was once 2 years, but it's 1 year now.
It makes
it a little better. Makes it a little easier. And there's also an SRF website. I don't have it off the top of my head, but if people just Google SRF or Self-Realization Fellowship, they can certainly find out how to apply for the lessons, as you said. They're called the lessons.
Absolutely.
But just to give you a quote, I think this is beautiful. An Indian sage once said, and this is, again, going back to pranayama and why it is powerful. So it is more powerful than other techniques if you, as you said, get a good technique and a good teacher. He said, the ancient yogis discovered that the secret of cosmic consciousness is linked with breath mastery. The life force, which is ordinarily absorbed in maintaining heart action, must be freed for higher activities by a method of calming and stilling the ceaseless demands of the breath. So once we can do that, which isn't always that easy, we can experience God more easily.
I believe that you can do it in 30 days if you work with your chakras. I think that you can get to quietness in about 30 days as long as you're working your chakras first. On getting them to be spinning. And of course, there's techniques to do that. I have a wonderful chakra tape that you can meditate to. Charlotte, do you recommend that people play background bhajans or music as they're meditating?
No, I don't. But that's the kind that I practice. Now, there's, you know, I'm certainly willing to.
You're in total silence.
Different. Right. Right, you should be in total silence. Now, if there's background noises, that's life. But when we get to that transcendent state, what I've noticed is the background noises don't matter anymore. And so, you know, sometimes we're struggling
true.
And we're fighting, and so silence is how we do it, and how Yogananda's teachings do it.
But Yogi Bhajan did it differently. Yogi Bhajan said that if you have trouble. Remember, we talked about the people that can't close their eyes, the people that haven't gotten there. They've never done prana yoga. There is a wonderful, wonderful music. It's called Ardas, A-R-D-A-S, and it's in the Crimson series. And if you play Ardas very, very low, not to distract you, but just for a comfort, just like you're putting a blanket around you, you will be able to go into states a lot faster, a lot quicker, and a lot more relaxed. Actually, Ardas is wonderful. You can use it if your child is having trouble studying. If you play Ardas low in the background, he'll retain the information much better. And Ardas means prayer beyond prayer. It's absolutely beautiful.
That is lovely. I like that. Prayer beyond prayer. Beautiful.
So could you share some of the modern findings of quantum physics and parallel what the teachings of the East tell us along with the quantum physics?
Yes, I certainly could. And I don't know if we're taking a break in 2 minutes, but I could start. And then are we taking a break in 2 minutes?
Yes.
I don't know if I can do it in 2 minutes. So I'll start. And then we can keep going maybe after the break a little bit more about it. Does that sound like a plan?
Just begin.
Sure. So quantum physics is very interesting because when you look at with quantum physics, you have to take everything you know about the gross material world and Newtonian physics, which was first discovered by Newton, and you have to take that and basically throw it out the window, because Newtonian physics works very, very well for this material world we see around us. It predicts what's going to happen, cause and effect. But quantum physics stymies people. It stymies the physicists. It stymies everyone who ever comes in contact with it because of the paradoxes. And yet it is true. It does work. It's been proven, but it's on the quantum level. So it's not anything like Newtonian physics. But one of the things it does do, and this is very important, is it very closely maps to the Eastern esoteric model of thinking, which is what the ancient rishis and yogis talk about thousands of years ago, what the model of reality is like. So quantum physics is actually kind of proving what the rishis have said now for thousands of years. I'll keep going. One of the things my book talks about is one aspect of quantum physics is called entanglement. And entanglement is so interesting because Einstein said that it couldn't be done, and he called it spooky science at a distance, but he was proven wrong. Entanglement states that when an experimenter arranges to have two subatomic particles created at the same time so that they are then entangled or in superposition to each other, and you then send them to opposite ends of the universe, and you then do something to one to change its state, let's say you set it spinning in a certain direction, and the other one instantaneously does the same thing, or it reacts in the same way.
It's the same thoughts as the 100th monkey.
Right. I know a little bit about the 100th monkey, but what's interesting about entanglement is that this this happens across, it doesn't happen across space and time because there's no signal that it has to travel across space and time because that would take time. And this happens instantaneously.
Sure, it's a knowing.
From one end of the universe to the other. And so what it's basically pointing to is it's pointing to this inseparable wholeness of reality, to what quantum, and I quote several Nobel Prize winning quantum physicists, because as maybe you know, Elizabeth, I bet you do know this, scientists fall on both sides of the equation. Some really don't believe in God and are fairly atheistic, and some are very spiritual. And the ones I quote just happen to be very spiritual.
There's a difference between sending energy, sending thought, and a knowing. A knowing is physical. A knowing is all-encompassing. I'm an identical twin, so I know what I'm talking about. I have somebody else walking around with my exact pattern. Okay?
Interesting.
So
right.
If there's something going on with her, I may not know the details, but I know that something is going on with her, and I know it in an instant. I know it as it's happening.
It's very interesting. Yeah, I've heard
that. So it has to do with harmony. It has to do with spin vibration. It has to do with frequency. I wrote a book on it. It's called Ascension Access in the Fifth Dimension, and it explains how and why this happens. And yes, Charlotte, we do have to go for a break, and we will be back. Could we please have your website?
Oh, yes. People can find my book on Amazon if they just Google my name, Charlotte Hebert, H-E-B-E-R-T, or the title of my book, which is Meditate and Experience God. And they can also find videos on YouTube if they Google either me or the name of my book. So I have videos about meditation. Sure.
And we've got your book tonight in the Metaphysical Corner, so people will be hearing a little bit more about it right after the commercials.
Oh, terrific.
Okay, so here we go on to the commercials, and we'll be back after the break. This is Elizabeth Joyce with Let's Find Out.
Wisdom Magazine is one of the East Coast's largest free publications, with more than 1,000 distributed bimonthly in three regional areas, New England, New York City and New Jersey, and Pennsylvania. Wisdom is dedicated to opening the people's hearts and minds to the philosophy, products, and services of the new millennium, bringing love, peace, and positive information into the community. Elizabeth writes the astrology column for Wisdom, as well as a weekly astrology update for the Wisdom Magazine website. Visit us at wisdom-magazine.com to view our web edition. The X-Zone is a late-night internationally syndicated radio, television, satellite, and internet talk show, which deals with a variety of subjects, but usually ones that relate to the world of the paranormal, metaphysics, and the science of parapsychology. It was created by the Canadian broadcaster Rob McConnell and first aired in 1993. The X-Zone airs 5 nights a week, Monday through Friday, from 10 p.m. to 2 a.m. Eastern Time, and is distributed internationally by the X-Zone Broadcast Network. It is hosted by the show's creator and executive producer, Rob McConnell. The X-Zone Radio Show is located in Hamilton, Ontario, Canada. The X-Zone Radio and TV Show is the only Canadian radio show that is syndicated to a truly international listening and viewing audience via conventional professional broadcasting and satellite means, not only the Internet. The X-Zone is syndicated on an international basis outside of Canada and has more than 400,000 listeners as an international audience. Listen for Elizabeth Joyce and Rob McConnell on the X-Zone at www.xzoneradiotv.com. Is it a headache or someone wishing you ill? Is a sudden change in behavior due to drugs or the influence of evil? Do you find it hard to pray, to reach out to God? Psychic attack is more common than one might think and is a malady that can be overcome by specific metaphysical and spiritual treatment. Elizabeth Joyce clearly explains what the symptoms of psychic attack are, where it comes from, how you can overcome the attack, and what simple exercises and meditations you can do to protect yourself from future attacks. She compares psychic attacks from days gone by with their modern counterparts and illustrates with anecdotes and examples. Is there any such thing as a ghost, and can they harm you? Can other people's negative and destructive thoughts harm you? If so, you can take steps to protect yourself from these energies. Although you would seek and find help with any physical emergency, this book, Psychic Attack, Are You a Victim? By Elizabeth Joyce, can be helpful by your learning good spiritual practices for clearing away negative energies and keeping up with the housework of the soul. Then, if something overthrows you, there are some good strategies at hand so you can begin to remove them. Learn what to do as well as what not to do. Elizabeth Joyce is an expert on ghost busting, and she has been to court on many occasions helping people get their money back from the gypsies and so-called psychic stealers. This is a book that you'll want to pick up and keep in your library because it's a how-to book as well as an informative book. Psychic Attack, Are You a Victim? By Elizabeth Joyce is available at Amazon.com as well as the website www.new-visions.com. Be sure to pick up Psychic Attack. You will want to hear Elizabeth's personal story as well as get this great information that could be helpful to you and your family in the future. Psychic Attack, Are You a Victim? By Elizabeth Joyce. Elizabeth Joyce of Let's Find Out on bbsradio.com is making 3 books available to us. They will be released in the summer months of 2013. This 3-book series, Opening to Your Intuition and Psychic Sensitivity, Developing Your Sixth Sense, Book 1, 2, and 3, are the culmination of 30 years of her teaching. Elizabeth has been blessed to open up her inner self of intuition and inner guidance, which has been an invaluable and priceless gift. She had many earthly teachers guiding her along the way, beginning with Grammy Hempel, Meg Stettner, Indira Ivey, Louise Hay, Dr. Frank Alper, Dr. Deepak Chopra, Mark Tremblay from Quebec, Canada, Dr. Joseph Shore, and most of all, the living saint, Amachi, known as the Hugging Saint. Her inner angels and guides have also been lively and active in sharing a part of her incarnation as well. These lessons in the 3 books have been from many years of experience and rewards greater than anyone can put into words. It was Meg Stettner who asked her to begin to teach this work to others. Meg knew the importance of the truth that came from so many people with similar experiences. Elizabeth has continually been fascinated by those who told their truth and stated that their lives were transformed through a catalyst of blending with intelligence beyond this planet Earth. Learning the chakras, how to apply them, how to go into deep meditations, how to protect yourself from negativity, wrap in white light, and learning to understand the essence of energetic healing has been important to Elizabeth and is invaluable to others as well. Elizabeth has had many exciting inner experiences. Some are shared in these 3 books, but the best is yet to come in her next book, which is her autobiography, Unlimited Realities. Opening to Your Intuition and Psychic Sensitivity, Book 1, will be available mid-June. Book 2, mid-July. Book 3, by September. Be sure to add these valuable teachings to your library. You can get all of them at Amazon.com. You're listening to Let's Find Out on BBSRadio.com, Station 1. If internet radio has a name, it's BBS Radio. The number 1 live internet radio talk show on the planet. Let's Find Out and our honored guests come to us every other Monday night at 9 p.m. Eastern and 6 p.m. Pacific. If you would like to call in and ask a question, please dial 888-627-6008 in the U.S. and Canada. Again, that's 888-627-6008. Now, if you're just tuning in and would like to hear this show in its entirety, a podcast will be available tomorrow, and you can download it at the archive link at bbsradio.com. Remember,
If it's not mainstream, it's BBS Radio. So now, let's find out with our host, Elizabeth Joyce. This is Elizabeth Joyce from Let's Find Out, and now it's time for the Metaphysical Book Corner. Tonight we are viewing the book Meditate and Experience God, Saints, Scriptures, and Science Point the Way by Charlotte Herbert. Have you ever wondered why we long to be happy? And not only that, but why we long for happiness that lasts? For a continual happiness, one that doesn't change with the changes of the world, yet we do. Could there be a reason for this? Could it be that the intelligence behind the universe has chosen to give us this longing intentionally? For a reason? The answer is yes. The truth is that we long for happiness at last because that is our birthright. Our souls, which are made in the image of God, know that such happiness is ours and long to claim it again. Yet, we continually go about looking for it in the wrong place. We seek our happiness from the world. But the world, which is changing and transitory, unlike our souls, can never, ever provide it for us. Only God can. Only union with God can. Meditate and experience the energies of the God source. Saints, scriptures, and science point the way, not only to show you how you can experience God through meditation, but to obtain happiness that you are seeking. And supports this notion by providing quotes and passages from the saints and scriptures and all of the world's great religious traditions, Christianity, Judaism, Hinduism, Buddhism, Islamic, and other religions. It may also refer to the latest in quantum physics to support its premise that we are all longing for something. It encourages you to test the teachings for yourself by providing introductory information on the 8 different meditation techniques. There's no longer any reason why you yourself can't meditate and experience the God within. It is what you are here to do. The book is Meditate and Experience God, Saints, Scriptures, and Science Point the Way by Charlotte Herbert. Go out and pick it up. I think it will enhance your life. You can always find it on Amazon.com.
Bits and pieces are falling away. I'm less asleep and more awake. Disappear before my eyes. I no longer choose to keep them in disguise. All those things that I thought I was, none of them true, all of them false. Everyone, everything I have judged according to what I thought I was. Now there's nothing I need to do. I question what I think is true. This cage I have built within my mind. I look out between the bars at my life. Through my past, through my fears, through my lies. Seeing the world from what I see inside. Shines in you.
away the fears in me. I'll give it to the work and open the door. Set me free forevermore. I become a place of peace, bit by bit and piece by piece. Now there's nothing I need.
And that was Bits and Pieces by Annabella Wood. How I love that song. To me, that's the result of meditation. This is Elizabeth Joyce with Let's Find Out on BBSRadio.com. And tonight my guest is Charlotte Herbert, and we are discussing how to meditate. And Charlotte, I'm coming back to you, and I would like you to tell us some other benefits of meditation for the individual from meditation.
Yes, absolutely. So there have been scientific studies that have documented changes that occur in the brain as a result of meditation. Some of these changes in brain activity, they lead to more positive emotions. So one study showed that meditating Buddhist monks whose brains were hooked up to functional MRIs had greater activity in the left prefrontal cortex, which is the part of the brain that registers positive emotions such as happiness, than in the right prefrontal cortex, which is associated with negative emotions and anxiety. Other studies have been conducted regarding changes in the physical structure of the brain. One study conducted by Sarah Lazar, who is a neuroscientist in the psychiatry department at Mass General Hospital here in Boston. She looked at the brains of about 30 adults who were studied before and after they took an 8-week insight meditation course. And the results showed that in many of the subjects, the amygdala part of the brain became smaller after the course. The amygdala is the part of the brain that is associated with fear, anger, and stress. So you can actually have your brain change over time. It's called neuroelasticity, and the brain structure can actually change.
That's wonderful. I'm sure you can find a lot of that kind of information on the internet. What are some of the benefits of meditation for society?
Societal problems such as recidivism rates, crime reduction, violence reduction, alcohol and substance abuse reduction, these have all been documented and scientifically studied. So there is a real benefit for not just the individual, but also for society. And regarding the individual, in addition to some of the changes that go on in the brain, there's a lot of health benefits that people do know about, I'm sure. That's been talked about many, many times. But they have documented improvements in the areas of heart disease, high blood pressure, stroke, tension headaches, improved immune system response, and much more.
Yes, and especially the immune system. It really can strengthen the immune system to meditate. And we know that we encourage cancer patients as well as others to meditate. And also mothers that are having any kind of stress while they're carrying their child, meditation helps there too.
Right, right. And it also can help with improved concentration and control of thoughts. Mm-hmm. So if someone has OCD, for example, or has cycling thoughts, or finds it hard to concentrate, meditation can help with all of these things.
So what information regarding techniques do you discuss, and what tips can you share with us regarding meditation?
Well, in my book, I present, as I mentioned, introductory information on 8 different meditation techniques that your listeners can try for themselves. And these include Herbert Benson's The Relaxation Response, mm-hmm. Insight or Mindfulness Meditation, a Mantra-Based Meditation, TM, Transcendental Meditation, Christian Centering Prayer, some Kundalini yoga techniques, and others. Kriya yoga is discussed, although the technique isn't given, but that's also discussed. So some of the meditation techniques, as we talked about, are pranayama techniques, which I personally think are more powerful, but you made an excellent point. You do need a qualified teacher. You don't want to get into dangerous territory. So some techniques might work more strongly and quickly, but any meditation technique is wonderful. And I would just really encourage your listeners to take the science scientific method approach with all of this. So the scientific method just says, you know, take something and test it for yourself. So
absolutely.
Take the testimony of the saints and sages. We have it now. I've got 100 pages in my book, 9 saints and sages, all of the world's religious, great religious traditions. So there's something for everybody. I don't care if you want, you know, Christianity or Buddhism, whatever you want, is there. And see what they say. See what they say about how to go about it and try it for yourself and see what you experience.
Well, when I first learned about all these different techniques, I wanted to go around the world into every town and see how they did it. I was so curious. So could you tell us a little bit about your own personal experiences with meditation, Charlotte?
Yes. I've been meditating for over 30 years, and personally, I've found that meditation has helped me to feel happier during the day, especially right after a good meditation. I find I get distracted less easily, and I can more easily focus on things that are important in life, and I can more easily prioritize things. And also, when something devastating, when something serious or major happens, it feels less devastating to me than it used to. I definitely still experience pain and attachment and all kinds of problems, but it's my moods are more even. So the pain isn't as devastating. The things I try to take a little bit more of a step back and have a perspective on things.
Well, it helps you work through it better. Louise Hay, who was my teacher, teaches that you have 24 hours to cry and hoot and holler and do whatever you have to do. And then you have to start saying, okay, this has happened. I accept it now and I have to go on to other things, or this is what I can do to work things out. It takes away fear when you embrace it and allow yourself the feelings. Allow yourself to cry or to mourn when you've had a separation or a disappointment for 24 hours.
Absolutely.
And then that next day, come up, do your meditation and come up and know that it's in the light.
Right, right. Absolutely. In fact, even the marathon bombers, you know, I've been reading The Globe about the marathon bombing victims, which is so tragic. But one of the things one of the peer counselors talked to, I think one of the amputees about, was it's okay to have a down day, but let's have the goal be, and this is just a nice goal, don't have two in a row. So that's very similar to what Louise Hay said, right? So, so that helped, meditation helps with that. And when it's at its very best, which are those moments, I guess, when my chakras are open, I felt a little bit of what the saints and sages talk of, which is that feeling of transcendence, that feeling of expansion, this feeling of knowing. Like you talked about knowing. You know that there is something larger than your little self, and that you're a piece of that. You also feel complete contentment and complete self-satisfaction, and a feeling of pure well-being. And it doesn't necessarily last long; it might last seconds.
I think the contentment that you find is living life without a fear, a worry, or a concern. That doesn't have anything to do with feeling that you've got the world by the tail or that you're the best. It has to do with not having a worry, a hurt, or a concern. And that really helps everybody relax and know that they're a part of the universe.
That makes sense. That makes sense. In fact, let's see, St. Teresa of Avila, she has a beautiful quote. Oh, here it is. She has a beautiful quote about what meditation is like for her. She said, the body experiences the greatest delight, and the soul is conscious of a deep satisfaction. So glad is it merely to find itself near the fountain that even before it has begun to drink, it has had its fill. There seems nothing left for it to desire. So that's when her soul is communing with God.
Well, that's beautiful, and I really want to thank you for being on the air tonight, Charlotte, and I hope that we can have you back. This is Elizabeth Joyce with Let's Find Out, and I just want to let you know that we are here every other Monday night, and next time I'm here, which is June 17th, I'm going to be teaching you some of the basics. There will be a teaching program. And I will be teaching you some basics on working your chakras and some basics on how to relax and to begin your meditation. I am asking everyone to give a few seconds tonight to pray for the ill, pray for your loved ones, and to pray for world peace. We're going into a meditation now, and it's called Loving Yourself Through Change. We've just been through 3 eclipses that have changed everything, and you'll really feel these changes between now and August 1st. So the meditation is going to help you loving yourself through change. This is Elizabeth Joyce with Let's Find Out on BBSRadio.com. Thank you for listening and good night.
The reason that people do not move forward with change is because they are unwilling and unable to devote the time and energy required to meditate and focus their thoughts on a new energy and discoveries within themselves and stay with them until the change can have time to take form. It takes faith, trust, and determination to go into these fifth dimension energies and persevere. One of the most difficult experiences we all face looking back at our past is to understand where these beliefs, habits, and fears began. As we work to recognize these patterns, which we refer to as cleaning house, everything around you, including your thoughts, relationships, and emotions, often become messier and more complicated before they can be removed, healed, and resolved. It can be daunting for the most hardiest of souls when faced with what they may have to deal with as they begin to take a look at the repercussions and results of their past actions. Are you willing to ascend, to look completely at yourself on your journey to a higher level while wrestling with your ego? That ego who is always struggling to remain in control. As with anything that comes with great rewards, you need to be willing to look completely within yourself, and that requires the soul to open its heart and accept some painful responsibility for your actions. This brings you the reward of freedom, forgiveness, compassion, and understanding. Life is about how you handle each and every moment as you live. The outcome is not as important as the energy you put doing the walking of your path. The knowledge gained during your life walk puts out an energy, and the outcome is a result of that energy. So, sit in a deep chair, both feet flat on the floor, take some deep breaths. Open up the crown chakra and feel the light coming into your body and down your spine. Take a deep breath. Release the breath. Take a deep breath. Release the breath. Take another deep breath. Release the breath. Don't judge yourself for human imperfections. Be gentle with them. Living in the now is a joyous moment of awakening. Breathe in. Let the new energy fill you. Breathe out. Breathe in. Let the new energy fill you. Breathe out. Breathe in. Feel the light as it shines through your entire body, giving you strength, stamina, and faith. Breathe out. Remember, anything is possible for the divine. Ask your blessed higher self, how can I experience more of whatever it is that I need to learn right now? Then wait for your answer. And whatever your answer is, as you begin to act on it, just know this, you are living in the moment. Accepting change has to do with living in the moment. And now let yourself relax, breathing in and out, feeling good, feeling energized, feeling filled with the new energies of the fifth dimension. Anything is possible with the divine. Remember, anything is possible with the divine.